You might remember I pointed out yesterday we had this healing of the blind man, which was a symbolic foreshadowing of the enlightening of Peter. And this is the turning point in Mark's gospel, where Peter makes his confession of faith, and Jesus right away begins to speak of his coming passion and resurrection. And then the gospel will proceed from here. There'll be two more predictions of the passion. And they're always followed by a totally inept response on the part of the disciples. And then more teaching of Jesus to explain the implications of the passion. The shock is always the same, isn't it? If you're the Son of God, if you're the Messiah, you know, then why all this suffering? Why all this suffering? Why not just march on to glory? Well, that's kind of what the first reading is hinting at. Huh? Remember I told you that the great mystics and theologians of Israel understood this rhythm, which they express very often. That is, there's a disaster, a sin. And after the sin, there's repentance and restoration. But the restoration goes on at a lower key. You remember what I told you about that? And that's the whole rhythm shown in the sin of Adam and Eve. But the original sin of the people, when God is giving Moses the law, and they're at the bottom of the mountain worshiping a false god. God didn't obliterate them. He said, leave me alone, I'm going to obliterate them, and Moses interceded. And they went on, and they're still God's people. But they're God's people who suffer for their sins, and it's not the same. And yet, mercy suffuses all of that. And God doesn't play games. You know, if there's sin, there's sin. His mercy is greater than having to pretend. It can suffuse all that sin and change it and make it a way of being in union with God. David, the beloved of God. And he committed adultery and murder. But God didn't take away the covenant. But he said, from now on, the sword will never part from the house of David. And a lot of that story after that is about Absalom rebelling and all the rest. Huh? So, we've already had the basic response of God to Adam and Eve's sin. And then we've seen how God protected them, made garments for them himself, promised that at one moment the seed of the woman would overcome the serpent. Then there was murder. Cain killed his brother Abel. And again, there's murder. But God put a sign on Abel, on Cain, that he wouldn't be killed. Now we have this, the end of the story, when the whole world had rebelled against God. And God sent the flood. And yet, he preserved Noah and his whole family and the animals and so forth, you see. And now, God is going to reinstate things again. We have almost the same words as we had in Genesis. God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said to them, be fertile and multiply and fill the earth. Now there's something different. Dread fear of you shall come upon all the animals of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures and so forth. Huh? Into your power they are delivered. Every creature that is alive, which is one way to put it, shall be yours to eat. I gave them all to you as I did the green plants. This is new. If you remember back in Genesis, I give you all the seed-bearing plants. They're yours. But not a word about eating the animals. Now, you have authority over these animals. If you want to eat them, go right ahead. Only flesh with its lifeblood still in it, you shall not eat. Because that's life. You know, in the blood is life. There's something very profound about that. Remember, we're saved by the blood of Christ, his outpoured life. And so, for your own lifeblood, too, I will demand an accounting. From any animal, I will demand it. And from one man in regard to his fellow man, I will demand an accounting for human life. This, in light of widespread abortion, is frightening. I will demand an accounting for human life. If anyone sheds the blood of man, by man his blood shall be shed. Because God made man in the image of God. And you take it upon yourself to destroy that life. Well, it's the spiritual part of man. It's the man. It's the human being. Body and blood. You know, bones and flesh. Imagination and memory. Will and desire. Mind and thought. That's the image of God. And then the blessing. Be fertile then and multiply. Abound on the earth and subdue it. God has not taken away his blessing. And then the mystery is this, of course. So, it's now a diminished existence from what it could have been. Except that God himself enters this diminished existence. And his own blood is poured out. And now, with all the suffering and all the misery, this situation is better than the other one. We're in better condition than Adam. Because now, God himself is our brother. God himself is our food and drink. That's the mercy. And it's so important that we grasp that. You see, God does not play games. He doesn't say, oh, well, you know, boys will be boys. We'll just skip all that. No. When we sin, we sin. And it has influence. It has consequences. Not just for us, but for the whole human race. And so the power of repentance is not that we get out of trouble. It's that the evil that we have set loose is turned back by the only one who could turn it back. God himself. So when we repent, we're not just saying, well, I hope then when I get to court, I won't have such a big fine. We're saying, take the evil I have done and stop it. How it affects me, but how it affects everybody else. That is why the church can repent. Because you see, we make up, as the great fathers of the church used to say, una persona mística. We make up one mystical person. So that if I give my life to God, if I respond to God, just as my sin could spread evil in the world, my giving of myself to God spreads grace and peace and goodness in this world. Because it is in union with Christ, the only Savior. So this text says, all right, this is the way it is, you know. Yeah, you can eat the animals, you can do all this, that's okay. But things are not the way they could have been. And then we get sad. And then God says, look at my son. They're better than they could have been. And that's the power of my mercy.